This is Dr. XH Balthazar. I am broadcasting once again to present my findings from the world of the uncanny. I attempted to ignite the skin-tom echo here on my property. I rehung the skin suit up on the branch a few yards away from my home. I waited for several hours to see if he would show up. There were some moments where I thought he was going to show, but I never saw the spirit. He never appeared. I did find a place to keep the skin, however. I put it in an enclosed container which I filled with formaldehyde. It is now in my specimen room, which adjoins my office. For today's transmission, I have a short investigation from a few years ago. You might remember my trip to Colorado investigating the apparitions of Gold Camp Road. When researching the different tribes who live there, I met a man who said he knew where a vampire's grave was located. Vampires were too far-fetched, even for me. I told him I wasn't interested, but he gave me the location regardless. He left the bar without telling me his name. When I concluded the Gold Camp Road investigation, I looked up the location of where this so-called vampire had been buried. I made my way to the town of Lafayette. When I arrived, I realized why this man had sent me. There was a large tree that stood in the middle of the grave plot. The tombstone was placed down a few feet before it. The slab lay flat on the ground. I had never seen a tree grow out of a grave before, so I was instantly intrigued by this sight. I read what was inscribed and made my way to the local watering hole in search of more information. The bartender said there was a good fellow in describing the significance of the grave to me. Although it isn't as terrifying as one might think, the story Dave tells is quite fascinating.
Alright, so you want me to speak into this thing?
If you could.
So that grave down there on I-55, that's been there for a decade or so now. It belongs to Theodore Fodor Glava. I was just a kid when he came to town. Nothing strange was happening around here when he arrived. There weren't any strange deaths, no missing livestock, and nothing going bump in the night. Fodor immigrated here and, like others, became a coal miner. It's hard work. According to those he worked with, he was tall, slim, his face was pale and gaunt. He also had really long fingernails that were chiseled at the end. Fodor kept to himself mostly. He was a quiet man. The people that believed him to be a vampire stayed as far away from him as they could, praying that he wouldn't visit them in the night. Those townsfolk would constantly talk about poor old Fodor. It's how the rumor gained traction. A lot of the women folk, including my mama, would spend a good amount of time in the beauty parlor, gossiping about whatever topic they could come up with, which is where I heard about it. Every night, she would try to relay some of their wisdom at dinner and told me to stay away from Mr. Glava whenever I saw him. It wasn't soon after that Mr. Glava died. He was buried in that spot that you went out to visit. This frightened a lot of people. They thought that he was going to rise up now that he died. This is when the blood-sucking would begin. Those who were terrified got together one night to figure out how to stop him. It was decided that they would dig up his grave and stab him through the heart with a stake. They made their way to the gravesite and dug up the body. People got worried that the dead man was going to leap out of the coffin and attack him, so they decided to drive the stake right through the wood paneling. They snapped right in half. It made it look like Fodor was reaching out towards him in one final grasp. A few ran in terror. Realizing he was officially dead, they lowered the body back into the grave and threw the dirt back in. Everyone breathed a sigh of relief. There wasn't anything more to worry about. But wouldn't you know it, a few years later, after everyone had forgotten about the man, a damn tree began to grow right in the spot where they drove that stake. No one noticed it at first, but sure enough, a little sapling was reaching up towards the sky. Almost 10 years later, and that thing was a full-grown tree. No one had ever seen anything like it before. This got people talking again. They were debating whether or not they should cut it down. Some said burn it. Finally, Father Hogan stepped in and said it was a sign from the Lord. He explained how this was God's way of telling the people to stop messing with his poor soul. He lectured them on the miracles of Jesus and how it was none of their business what that man did behind closed doors in the first place. There's a group that still believes the guy is a vampire. I hope this sheds some light on that spot out there on the highway. You got anything else you want to know? How about another round?
After my discussion with Dave, I took a break from the investigation. I didn't think it would be right for me to take samples from the site. Why was it that all of these small towns were experiencing such phenomena? Why would they never appear in the larger cities? Was it the space? Unfortunately, I must end this transmission. The team located in the Black Forest has sent me a message. They require my immediate assistance, and I must make preparations. Until next time, goodbye and good night.